We will begin item 9E, General Services Airports.
Battery 100%.
Good morning.
Good morning. My name's Angie. I am the Transportation Service Manager. And I have Andrew Scallon with Kinley and Horn. He's the project manager on the airport layout plan. And he has provided a presentation to update the board, a briefing of our airport layout plan at Siskiyou County Airport. Steve Serdell is unable to come to the meeting this morning, and he was going to give the briefing on the Weed Airport regarding the AWAS, the conduit under the construction work that we're starting in the spring. So we wanted to ask if we could bring that back at a later date.
I will just say I keep hearing at a later date for airports in general, and it's not satisfactory. I don't know how else to say that.
I'm so sorry. He actually is sick and was
okay.
Able to come in.
Okay. No one else can give us an update?
With Kinley and Horn, that would be he's also unavailable. He's our engineer, and he's unavailable today. So if we could...
Did they know that this was going to take place?
Yes.
And they're not available?
Yeah.
Okay.
He was not available, and Steve was sick.
Okay.
So
I understand the sick part, but
yeah.
I don't understand the consultant part. Not being available.
The airport was not intended to be part of our presentation. So
yeah, we kind of added...
I'm not prepared
later
to answer anything on Weed, unfortunately.
Okay. Let's put it this way. So the next meeting is February 6th.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It will require a Weed update.
Okay, absolutely.
All right. And
yes, I know he's been working on the AWAS. Made some
I understand
progress.
That.
Yeah.
We just needed to have an update in general.
Yeah.
But I didn't think... Anyway, let's go with
Sorry
this.
About that. Okay, all right. We also have Carol Ford. She's with Ford & Associates.
Is she the one online there?
Yes. I don't know if that's her there or not. Brandon Gilson. And then we also invited Lori Settmeyer. She is the FAA San Francisco manager. I don't know if she was able to join. So, okay.
So and before we begin, is Kimberly Horn in just for Siskiyou Airport, or is all airports in the county?
All
county-owned airports.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And then we also have the Forest Service and Cal Fire. Just left in case you have any questions for them regarding the information that you're getting from the presentation. So I'll let you take that over.
All right. Are you able to pull up the presentation? And I'll try to keep this somewhat brief. There's a lot of content here. I understand you guys probably have a lot of questions, so I'll try to keep my remarks on the brief side. I'm also seeing if we can find out about the conduit situation on the side. Hopefully we can answer that as well. So I appreciate everyone's time this morning. As Angie mentioned, this is for the Siskiyou County Airport. We are doing the airport layout plan update for the airport. So we have a few topics that we wanted to cover today. Catch up to the next slide there, please. The purpose of what the project is, quick overview of the facilities of the airport, forecast of aviation demand that we prepared, and then spend the bulk of our time talking about the requirements and alternatives. Next one, please. So the airport layout plan is a really key document with the FAA. As a federally obligated airport, or an airport that takes money from the FAA, required to keep this document current. The current one on file is 1987, 36 years ago, so a lot has changed in industry over the course of the time. It is long overdue for an update. Typically, the FAA likes to see this updated every 5 to 10 years, so we're definitely needing to do an update. This is really key with the FAA as it provides that first level of test of whether or not a project is eligible for FAA funding. Is not shown on this document you automatically do not have eligibility for any grant funding at that point. So we need to go in, update the current status of the facility, and also reflect what the future plans are of the facility as they stand right now. Next slide. Typically, a project of this nature takes about 18 months to work through. We start with a goals and provisioning exercise. That was done in the systematic approach of understanding this is a system of airports. Then we work into understanding what is out there, what's the inventory of the facility and the condition of the facility. We then move to creating forecasts of aviation demand over a 20-year period. So this started in 2022. 2042 is our forecast year. Once we have that list of what the demand will be, we're able to translate that into requirements. How many hangars, how many apron areas, that sort of thing. And then we can compare that against the existing conditions and understand where the gaps are. Once we have a list of the gaps, we then work on the alternatives where we figure out how to accommodate the needed facilities over the next 20 years on the airport. And that's about where we are in the process right now, is in that alternative phase. After we define a preferred or recommended alternative, we'll take that overall view, start parsing it down into individual projects. It would be our implementation plan and identify potential funding sources for those projects. That all gets wrapped into a set of documents, the airport layout plan drawing set, and also the narrative report. The two boxes are shown in green. Those require FAA approval. So our forecasts are something the FAA has to weigh in and approve. Also, the airport layout plan is something the FAA approves. Next one, please. Just real quick overview of the airport. It is a single runway airport. It's about 7,500 feet long, 150 feet wide. It is an old Army airfield. And it has about 1,100 acres that is airport property. A couple of key users today is the Forest Service and Cal Fire. Also, the Sheriff's Department has a lease out there as well. Next one, please. Concurrent with this, we had a pavement condition assessment done. This is very similar to our traffic maps. Green is good, red is not good. So this was showing that there is some need for improvements out at the airport today to maintain the pavements. If you move to the next slide, you can see a couple of examples of what we saw out there. So we did take some cores of the pavement, and what we're seeing on in the pictures is the different layers of pavement are becoming laminated. The bond between the layers is broken free. So that's kind of a challenge that we need to address in terms of pavement. This was conducted or completed in 2023. If we move to the next slide, we can see a five-year forecast. If we don't do anything in terms of pavement maintenance, this is the forecasted condition of the pavement out there. So again, it's in need of some tender loving care. Next one, please.
Hold on.
Yep.
On the pavement delamination, those pictures, is it a concrete base with an asphalt overlay?
Looks like portions of it were that, yes.
Okay.
For forecasting, there's really two forecasting metrics that we do at a general aviation airport. One is the number of base aircraft or aircraft that are call Siskiyou Airport home for more than 6 months of the year. The other is the number of operations. Each takeoff, each landing is accounted as an operation. Today, there's about 20 base aircraft out there looking at a variety of different forecasting methods from market share to trends at the airport, socioeconomic data. We have a wide range of forecasts. The white dashed line is what we selected as our forecast for this, which shows growing from 20 to 26 based aircraft over the course of 20 years. So a little bit under one additional based aircraft every 2 years. Operations are a little bit harder for us to measure out here because as of right now, there's no system to reliably count the operations. It's a non-towered airport, it's unattended. Best estimate is there's about 14,000 annual operations. We're estimating that that would increase to about double that in the year 2042. Next one, please. The other important consideration when we're looking at this is what is the critical aircraft? And that has a very specific definition with the FAA. It's 500 annual operations of an aircraft or 250 departures. Again, very specific definitions. We cannot count training operations, so you may be familiar with the term touch and go, where an aircraft comes in and lands and immediately powers back up, takes off. It's a practice operation. Those don't count as part of that 500 annual operations. Also, any federal entity that's operating out there, those operations don't count. So military comes in, or unfortunately Forest Service, those don't count as part of the critical aircraft requirements. We use this as planners to understand what the sizing requirements are of the facility, how big of the pavement do we need, how much space do we need in between buildings. It also dictates those design standards. This is also used by the FAA to determine their eligibility requirements for funding. If you're trying to oversize a facility, the FAA will say, well, your critical aircraft is only this. That's what you get from us in terms of grant funding.
So if we aren't tracking what lands and departs from there because we haven't been able to, account for that data, how does that fit into this?
It's a key piece. Right now, we really can't answer those questions. Now, the county, you guys did recently approve a contract with Vertower. That will give those accurate counts that we need to be able to go back with better data at a future point to the FAA and say, here's what the actual critical aircraft is.
Will that help us? Well, I guess what I'm after is, what's the immediate effect if we don't meet that?
The immediate effect is there's nothing that changes tomorrow. Okay. There's such a long lead time in order to get funding for a significant pavement project. It's several years out that realistically we would expect getting FAA funding in order to treat some of the pavements out here. What that does translate to, at the current trajectory, is we will have inadequate funding support from the FAA to be able to maintain the entire pavement out there.
Okay. There's no cost estimate on those offhand, back of the envelope, detective?
Yeah, we'll have some later on.
Okay.
So we have four different buckets for critical aircraft that we were able to use. One is the existing, pretty straightforward. Future is for that 20-year forecast that we're looking at. And there's ultimate that would be beyond 20 years, and then there's anticipated. So this would be something to account for what you as the county desires to accommodate at the airport. Knowing this is a very important asset for firefighting, for example, being able to accommodate a C-130 would be the anticipated critical aircraft here. That's something that's important to us. So this is what the results are. Again, we touched on it. It's very limited data that we're able to use at this point. We're really excited for the Vertower data to start coming in. Get a year of that data to be able to prove out exactly what's happening here. So we do have existing and future as the King Air. You can see an example of that in the top right. And then anticipated would be the C-130 aircraft, which is the firefighting tanker aircraft that's used. Next one, please. In terms of requirements and alternatives, I touched upon this briefly, but we're starting with the big block here. We're starting with the runway. That's the most important asset for the airport. And then we'll build out the alternatives from there. And we're really working on the runway at this point. So if you flip to the next slide, you can see a list of some of the other things that we'll be working on in terms of putting into a comprehensive alternative, a preferred alternative, if you will, how the taxiways are set up, associated safety areas with the runway taxiway system, navigational aids required, and also making sure that there are clear approach and departure paths for the aircraft to use. Ensuring on the land side that we have places to put everybody in terms of aprons, tie downs, hangars, and then having good circulation on airport for vehicles, and then some facilities for county maintenance. So I want to spend just a moment here touching on some of the work that we've done. We put a lot of effort really trying to paint the best picture here in terms of what is happening out at the airport and try our best to emphasize the need for a long runway out here to support firefighting operations. We know that's a really important concern of the county. So this started back in March of last year. We worked through trying to find what that fleet mix is. We spoke at length with Cal Fire and Forest Service to understand what their existing fleet is, but also what their potential fleet would be or their future fleet would be, and the likelihood of them bringing those assets here locally. Knowing that we had a gap from what we were able to present that the FAA would agree is a critical aircraft and what the desire is, we had some conversations with the FAA to get an understanding of their perspective of what we could do funding-wise. We also looked at firefighting manuals to understand if we want to have a good tanker base here, what is the infrastructure we need to support that? You know, we have some limitations today. If we were to enhance those the infrastructure that's out there, could we reasonably assume that we would start seeing more tanker operations and something that we could present back to the FAA and emphasize that point? We also spoke directly with the operator, Colson Aviation, who will be the ones flying the C-130s, to get actual performance characteristic data of the C-130s at Siskiyou Airport. That's been very helpful in understanding what runway lengths they actually require. We compiled all this into some alternatives. We have a technical advisory committee that was formed for this project, comprised of Cal Fire, Forest Service, a couple other stakeholders at the airport. We had two meetings where we presented these alternatives. The first one was in May of last year. We presented some preliminary alternatives. And then we followed up again in August of last year with some more refined alternatives, and we have their feedback integrated into what we're sharing.
Who were the other two representatives, I guess, from the airport?
So Valley Aviation has been a participant. We've also had the RC Flyers as a participant, and those are the other two. So again, looking at critical aircraft and what length of runway do they require. So the King Air is a fairly short runway at 4,100 feet. And then the C-130, the bare minimum runway required would be 4,200 feet. And that's pushing the operational limits of that airplane, putting it at the extreme operating limits. Certainly not something we would want to do for a piece of equipment we want to be able to rely on to respond to an incident. The balanced takeoff, the balanced fuel takeoff, that's a reasonable runway length that they could operate, have full retardant, full fuel, and be able to operate there. It's not max thrust sort of conditions, but it's certainly not as gentle on the aircraft as the optimal length of 7,100 feet. That would really be the ideal, not really stressing the equipment. Again, we want to make sure that equipment is available to respond to the incident.
And the current length of the runway?
It's about 7,500 feet.
Okay.
Do you know the current landing requirement of a C-130 if it's fully loaded?
It can land shorter than it needs to take off.
Even loaded?
Yeah. Okay. So, just covered, it's about 7,500 feet of runway out there today, 150 feet wide. North is to the left of the screen here. And what's shown in the blue and the red are some of the safety zones that are associated with the airport. We have some challenges on the north end of the airport where those safety zones go across the public road. So there would be some mitigations that are required in order to bring those safety zones into compliance with FAA. So rerouting of airport road, buying of land in order to accommodate those things. So at current runway length, if we were trying to keep that, there's still some additional investments that would need to be done from a safety perspective.
And so what if you went to the 7,100 length that you said was optimal? What would that do to the safety zone?
We have that in like two slides.
Okay, all right, sorry.
On these slides that are coming up next, I do have some opinions of probable cost. I want to give you a little bit of background on how those were developed. One is they're assuming that we're using a full-depth reclamation of the pavement. It's kind of a newer technology. Unfortunately, not every contractor is able to do this, but you get 20-year useful life of pavement at a reduced cost. So instead of taking all the pavement and all the base material out and replacing it all with new, being able to treat it in place, stabilize what's there, it gives you the same product in the end, but at a lower cost because you're not taking all the material out, putting it all back. We have the raw material costs included in here. We have some of the hard costs, as you can see on the slide. also the soft costs noted and some inflation factor included as well. So the next slide is that 7,100 foot option. And for this one, we specifically took the north end of the runway and shoved it to the south. So we're actually shifting the runway in order to keep everything off the public road there. You do see that the blue does extend beyond the black dash line, which is the property line. So there would need to be some form of action there, whether it's an easement or property acquisition. There would need to be something done with respect to that. But this, again, it provides that optimal runway length for the Forest Service and the C-130 airplanes. Unfortunately, it does cost a lot of money. It's $30.1 million to do this. Of that, approximately 18% would be eligible for FAA funding. So there's a lot of money there that needs to be generated somewhere else in order to make that project
work.
18%? 18%.
So why is that so low when some of the projects have been 90% federal, 5% state, and the county holds 5%?
It comes to the critical aircraft requirement and what's eligible. So,
immediate is what you're talking about then on the count, right?
If you were able to do a project soon, yes, like tomorrow, which again, even for FAA funding, which would be about $5 million we're looking at, that will take the FAA several years to get that kind of money to the county for the maintenance.
So what you're talking about with the 18% is mainly dealing with that we don't have the count.
Correct.
So it is immediate in the sense that, because where I was headed with, we just got the software to count now. Over the last however many decades that we haven't been doing a count, it's coming home to roost on us now. Is that a fair assumption?
That's fair.
Okay. Go ahead, Supervisor Howe.
Two questions. One, what work behind the scenes has been done trying to coordinate additional funds through either Senator Dolly's office or Congressman Mumford's office?
So I don't know if
it has, yes. That, and that's, again, that Steve is working on that. He's been working with their office, his office. I'm not sure what the outcome is or where we're at with that right now. It boils down to what the FAA will pay for.
Okay. Well, the other comment I want to make is that we're only looking at one aspect of the finances of this. We're looking at what it takes to replace the runway. The other cost is associated with the reduction in the capability of the CAL FIRE Forest Service to be successful in the initial attack on fires. And those extended fires in our county are costing us a significant amount of money that's not in your report. And I guess from the CAO's office, we need to get those figures into this analysis so that lawmakers above our level can see the total picture and not just what the FAA is doing to us.
Go ahead.
Okay. The next slide shows kind of the breakdown of the costs. So again, it's about $5.3 million the FAA would support, roughly $294,000 the state would support, and the rest we're classifying as local share because we just don't have a funding bucket for that. That's really the gap. That's the $24.5 million.
Can I pause you there real quick? Just oh, Miss CAO, do we have an extra 20 some odd million to throw at this?
No.
Thank you. All right.
Any grants available?
Grants have always been FAA, but that's been due to our due diligence, and we dropped the ball, is where I'm heading with this. And
this is a living document, like what Andrew was trying to say, that, you know, if we do something tomorrow, these are the numbers. So as we move forward throughout the years and our numbers get better, the FAA will sponsor more, and that's what we're doing.
How immediate is this reconstruction?
Ideally, it happens right away.
Okay, that's what I'm... All right. Why is immediate?
How long will it live along?
I'm
not the engineer, so I can't answer that directly. But that's, again, looking ahead 5 years, all we see is the pavement will continue to deteriorate. Nothing fails yet at that point. But it's something we need to address sooner rather than later.
Since it's a living document, is there a fact that it's, you know, every year does it go up, the cost estimate goes up without having to reconfigure it all?
We do our best, but inflation has been a little bit crazy.
Sure.
It has had material costs lately, so.
Okay.
Understand, the further out it goes, the less reliable it becomes.
Yeah, okay.
Did I hear you say that federal agency airplanes do not count in that number?
Correct. So there was a mention of the business jet type traffic, the jet aircraft. We're not seeing that in the counts. But if Vertower, once that comes online, if we start seeing more of those, that again provides some more credence to the story of we really do need more runway here.
It's been game jams up.
Well, Forest Service is federal.
Correct.
Do those firefighting airplanes not count?
They count as operations, but they don't count for the critical aircraft. FAA's perspective would be the other federal agency would need to pay for that.
Their landing fee is going to go up.
Well, we'll still have a contract with them, but that doesn't count as far as numbers every time they land. So we're not going to get federally funded, FAA funded for that.
So remember, we the county, have not been doing our due diligence and count, and now it's come home to roost.
Yeah.
And that's why, at least in my mind, and maybe you'll get to it, I don't know how other county airports operate throughout the West, but is there the ability to contract with FBOs, for instance, that just run the airport so that somebody's actually doing the counts, that they're doing the maintenance, and that they're able to do the work besides the count?
Yes. I don't have a slide specific to that, but the short answer is yes. And I could touch upon that more in a moment.
Okay, thank you.
The other question that was asked of us is the ongoing maintenance. Obviously, there's the initial impact of the $30.1 million, but then for 20 years of life, you want to do some slurry seals, those sort of things, just to maintain the pavement, to get that 20 years of life. Over the course of the 20 years, that's an additional $1.5 million that would be required under this option. So I'll try to go through the next two options pretty quickly. This is really what currently the FAA would support. 4,100 feet of runway, 75 feet wide. Obviously, we're not able to accommodate Forest Service operations at this point, at least for tankers. We can still do helicopters. Actually, it doesn't even really support all your users, knowing that the business jet traffic is here, but we can't really quantify what that is. Most of those folks wouldn't be able to land or take off at this configuration. The good news is it is eligible up to that 90% level from the FAA. Again, it will take the FAA several years to amass that kind of money to support a project like this.
Quick question for the county sheriff. Is that also including in-kind, or is it actual dollars?
I'm not familiar with all of these terms on the county sheriff.
For the county sheriff, it says here, you know, $294,000. I'm just asking this for all of them. For the county sheriff, does that include in-kind staff time dedicated towards this?
That would
or
be
that part dollars?
Sorry, that would be money from the state. Caltrans has grant programs, a matching program up to 4.5% per project, up to $150,000, whichever is less. So when the FAA is pitching in money, usually it's 90% FAA, 5.5% local, and 4.5% state. That's what that money represents there.
Okay.
It's not the county sheriff leasehold or state sheriff or anything like that. That's just grant money to the county.
Oh, that's money coming into the county that goes towards it?
Towards the project.
Okay, so not money the county has to shell out to pay for.
The 5.5% is.
It is.
Yeah.
Is that include in-kind staff time, or is it just hard dollars?
It does include staff time, yeah.
Does it?
That's just my question.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I think it was passed. Is it, you, okay.
Yeah.
I don't know, I just was wondering.
Yeah, I know, because I thought we had to come up with the cash in the past. I didn't think in kind fit. Check it out. I see the CAO's writing that down. So.
Okay. Yeah, it adds into the calculations in our aspect, you know, we'll be towards it.
And there could be situations where you provide some of the services too. It's not just staff time, but for example, leaning on the road department to do some clearing and grubbing, that sort of thing, that could count as part of that 5.5% as well.
If FAA allows that?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry. I'm sorry.
I'll be following up with you guys and your team to potential.
You're good. Okay. Superintendent Howe?
Two things. First, I don't know if it's in your analysis, and it's too bad the Cal Fire rep isn't here. I'd like to see what the increased turnaround time is without that airport for retardant. You only got two other options. I mean, they can go back to McClellan in Sacramento to reload, or they can try and get in the Medford, skipping through the different commercial flights up there, which is problematic during fire. So. Is that in your analysis? If it's not, I'm sure I'd like to make sure it's in there.
No, that it is in yours. We discussed it.
It's not in the presentation today.
Okay, because we're talking about firefighting capability here, which is a critical safety component.
Come on up and
state your name.
Yeah.
Sorry, Isaac.
My name is Isaac Flatley. Currently with the Forest Service, the Air Tactical Group Supervisor based out of Siskiyou. And I have rough estimates for, depending on where a fire is in Siskiyou County, and optimal for reload. Currently, the Forest has a reload base there. It's under a process of being rejuvenated. Last two seasons, we've had a mobile retardant base there. And it's basically to supplement the bases that are either coming out of Redding, Sacramento, Fortuna, or aircraft out of Medford. So when we do have that active, it does help, depending on, like I said, where the fire is. It's Western Siskiyou County, it helps a lot. It cuts down the flight time, depending on the distance. If it's, you know, 30 miles from Montague, and then 80 miles from Redding. It just depends where the fire's at. It's another option for retardant. And last year, Redding was under construction. They had also a mobile retardant base, and they could only actually support the two Type 3 tankers out of there with Cal Fire S2s. Our mobile retardant base was able to supplement that with supporting the seed operations, S2s, and the Type 1 tankers while it was operational for the lightning activity we had on the right, on the west side. As far as your question earlier about initial attack, it is optimal. We are one of six air attack platforms in California for the feds, and so our jurisdiction or coverage area between us, Lassen, and Redding, we cover quite a bit, not just Siskiyou County, Modoc County, Six Rivers, Southern Oregon, portions of, and the Shasta Trinity. So, and this, we support the Siskiyou unit. And we've had aircraft based with us, co-located as far as fixed wing. It's been optimal for responding to the initial attack. In the last 2 years, we posted seed operations out of there, so it's been a collaborative effort with us and the retardant aircraft out of Redding. So, I don't know if that answers your question, but it just depends on where in the county a fire is as far as reloading. Operationally, last year, we had to send aircraft to Klamath Falls because Medford had quite a bit of activity from the Oregon fires, and Redding was under construction, so bypassing Siskiyou and The reload base wasn't operational for initial attack. Aircraft are going to Klamath Falls or Fortuna, quite a bit further away. So, and it's all about flight time and how fast they get back.
So if this airport wasn't operational for you, we didn't have the capacity, what would that trickle-down effect mean? I think I'm hearing it, but...
We have contracted aircraft for the air attack platforms, and they're actually air commanders. Our minimum is 5,000 feet, so option two wouldn't be an option for us.
Okay.
The only airport in Siskiyou County that meets that is the bare minimum 5,000 is the Weed Airport, I believe. And so having the infrastructure as far as a runway that can accommodate that for Northern California, besides being in Redding, and then the ask from Medford, it's optimal having already established infrastructure to support that. Otherwise, our operation would be severely limited. And having the retardant base or mobile retardant base, same applies if the S2s, I think, a minimum of 5,000. We wouldn't be able to support Type 1s in any other airport in Siskiyou County.
And does the FAA in particular, I guess, do they reach out to your department for input?
Not that I'm aware of. Maybe at higher echelons, maybe at the regional level. And just having strategic reload bases and retardant bases in California, that's the optimum. And as per having that support with Reading being able to be under construction for a year and having no pits available for outside resources and having that supplement associated, I'm sure at the regional level they're real concerned with what's available and what they want to develop. There has been more interest in with the Forest Service. We've had a number of site visits at Siskiyou to build up the infrastructure and the tanker capacity for the base. And that's actually in the works, but I don't have the details on that.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Can I get your name again?
Isaac Flatley.
Go ahead.
How do you spell the first name?
I-S-A-A-C.
A-A-C?
Supervisor Howe.
Thank you.
I don't have a question for you, but I had one
other
question.
Wait, before,
he had a follow-up on his.
No, he's going to a different path.
This subject? Yeah, this subject. Thank you.
Go ahead.
Thank you. If you can stick up.
Yeah, one more question.
One more question. Once you get up, we email you. So in regards to, you talked a little bit about the other, so it's not just Siskiyou County that benefits from this ability here. There's other areas outside of the Siskiyou County boundary that also benefit from having this ability here at this area.
For the air attack platform, that's correct.
Okay.
We're based out of Siskiyou. We're a regional aircraft. Our jurisdiction basically drawing lines for flight times from Siskiyou to the other bases, including CAL FIRE. So we have CAL FIRE in Reading, Federal Base in Chester, and then on the coast in Fortuna. So for Northern California, or calling that our IA dispatch area, or even recon area.
So do you cover Oregon also?
Somewhat Southern Oregon, and parts of the Klamath National Forest are actually in Oregon. So.
Okay.
We've had multiple times reported fires that are in Oregon on the Rogue Siskiyou and turned it over to them. So.
All right. The reason I follow up on that is, what's following further on what Supervisor Hopp brought up, the cost of not having it, the cost of having to deal with it. We could bring into our analysis those outside areas outside of the county, and also when it comes towards lobbying, if you're hitting Fortuna, you're hitting a different congressional district. You're hitting Oregon, you're hitting a different congressional district. And finding those allies, not just for the benefit of Siskiyou, but for the benefit of them as well. You may have buy-in and want to petition on our part for increasing funding to meet these needs.
Okay. Back to Supervisor Howe.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks.
Appreciate it.
Thanks.
One avenue I don't think we've chased for funding is that the state with dam removal was quick to fund a lot of volunteer fire departments with additional firefighting capability. And since money is no object, I would see an opportunity for the state to invest in what they took away, a firefighting capability with the dam removal project. Maybe staff should reach out to the state and bring this up. Just a suggestion. Seeing they have climate change in there too, that might get their attention.
And back to that, there's not just a political point to get it. There's an actual legitimate concern based upon
Major.
It really isn't just politics in the sense of the medicines. It's
no, I see this as one of the most severe public safety threats that my district will suffer from, because we're a big recipient of air tankers on the west side of this county, as well as Supervisor Chris's district.
Okay, we're going to move on. And let you finish up.
Okay. So the next slide, please. So that's just the breakdown of the police preferred option. And the next option, option three, which is kind of that middle ground. Next slide, please. This is able, we're not quite at the 6,100 feet here, but what we're doing is putting all the safety areas, safety zones, on inside airport property. So there's none of the safety zones that are spilling out of the airport property. We're really darn close to the 6,100 foot mark. As you heard, 5,000 would be the absolute minimum for service we need. It's also usually a general metric for the business jet aircraft. We're usually looking for 5,000 feet of runway. Again, pretty hefty price tag with this at $24.8 million. With up to 21% being potentially eligible from the FAA. Next slide shows that. And then the 20-year maintenance cost would be about $1.3 million. Next slide, please. So we did have some other criteria that we were ranking or evaluating these alternatives against, compliance with FAA design standards, off-airport impacts, are we impacting the neighbors, whether or not it satisfies the forecast demand, stakeholder input. Again, we did present this to the Technical Advisory Committee and supporting firefighter operations, and lastly, that rough order of magnitude costs. We can see from this, and there's no weighting on any of these factors that has not been taken into account, but you can see option three appears to be a pretty good balance of meeting demands and doing so at slightly more affordable price, I hesitate to say. We talk about funding, and Supervisor Kopseth, you mentioned that about dropping the ball. I would also layer on that things are changing at the FAA as well. I've been in the industry almost 25 years, and just for some context, the Airport Improvement Program, which is the grant source of funding for airports, when I started in 99, was about $2.93 billion. Last year it was $3.4 billion. The current authorization is going to put it around $4 billion. So that's 25 years, roughly $1 billion of additional funds available. And that money is spread across over 3,000 airports across the U.S. So this is a real challenge for airports all across the U.S. And it's really becoming acute with runway funding. The FAA is really looking very carefully at runway investments. It used to be that if you had a runway, the FAA would pretty quickly say, okay, you have it, let's go ahead and rehab that, reconstruct it, we're okay with that. Now they're really asking the question, do you really need all that runway? And that's at airports of all sizes. This came up at Charlotte. Charlotte's trying to build a new runway. They wanted 11,000 feet. FAA said, I don't know, I don't trust that. So now they're building a 9,000-foot long runway. So this is a very hot topic across the U.S. So it's not just that the county has been complacent. This is also the FAA trying to do more with less, because the needs are certainly out there. On the state level, again, the state does have some matching capabilities for up to 4.5% or $150,000 per project, whichever is lower. And then also recently is the bipartisan infrastructure law, the bill money, that did give us a little bit of a shot in the arm. Unfortunately, that's unpredictable, and the chance of that happening again is probably kind of low at this juncture. What we found in consulting with other airports is really just try to get our airport sponsors in the best position they can to take advantage of when funding does become available, that we're ready to go and start implementing a project. And that's doing the due diligence, doing the planning, doing the engineering, get it shovel ready. So when the FAA comes near the end of the year and says, well, I have all this money that I can't spend, you can raise your hand and say, I can spend that for you. And we were asked to look at other pavement maintenance options. So you're probably familiar with a couple of the terms here, mill and overlay, scraping off the top couple inches, putting a couple inches back, or the full reconstruction. Again, we're taking all the pavement down to native earth and building it back up. You can see the numbers there. But the mill and overlay, while it is cheaper, you're not getting a useful life. You're only getting about 10 years. It also doesn't fix any of the issues underneath. So if you have a crack underneath, that'll reflect up to that top surface pretty quickly. And it just increase your maintenance costs at that point. Next one, please. So I had this here in case we wanted to banter about different options. We'll just roll to the next slide, which is my concluding slide of where we go from here. We really need to work alongside the county to find what is that preferred concept option for the runway so we can start building out the rest of the plan. Then we can start digging into how do we actually break this up into smaller projects and what are the potential buckets of funding that can be used to get there, and then ultimately document all this in a set of drawings and a narrative report. So thank you again for your time today. Let's see if I got a question on Lee while we were talking. No update.
Any public comment, Anna?
I'm sorry.
Anna, any public comment?
Battery 100%. Caller ending in 8308. It's your turn to speak.
Good morning.
Hello?
Yes, good morning.
Hi, supervisors. This is Carol Forrest, and I help the county with grants and other issues involving Siskiyou and Weed Airport. And I heard the presentation, and I wanted to know if you had any questions for me.
How we're going to get back to the 90% level for FAA?
I'm not sure about, well, that's the normal amount that you would get, but for the longer runway, they don't want to fund that. Is that what you're asking about?
Yeah, and it's due to the count, that's what I'm understanding. So how do we get back to receiving that amount of funding from the FAA? How do we get back there? Because we can't afford to do it otherwise. Even
yes, I understand. Well, there's
four or five or even
there
10
is,
if you want to go there. Go ahead.
There's a problem with the length of the runway. If you want the shorter length, then they'll probably fund that
we can't
90%.
For public safety, we can't do that.
I'm sorry?
We can't do that for public safety reasons, firefighting capabilities.
I completely agree with you. I think one option is to get some businesses out on the airport, industry that would be there that could pay you money, and then you could use that extra money to support the longer runway length which you desire and I desire. I think it's ridiculous to chop up perfectly good pavement or even not perfectly good. I always think it's better to keep runways longer, but as Andrew perfectly explained, we're dealing with less funds and more needs. So, but one thing that we didn't mention is contacting your congressperson, and in your case, it's Doug LaMalfa, and I would suggest that we take this problem to him and explain the dire situation of funding in Siskiyou County. I'm sure he's aware of the tightness of finances for airports and this airport in particular. So I know that we have, Steve has been in contact with Congressman LaMalfa's office, and I believe that is something that we were going to do, have a conversation with Aides in his office about this issue.
Okay, and I guess one of the things I would appreciate is some form of a one-page outline that says how do we get back to the 90% level of funding, because I haven't heard that yet. That's the
whole
problem.
Well, I invited the...
Go ahead.
Yes. I have invited the FAA to attend today to explain it better, but we haven't heard back from them. So I will continue to try to get her, that's Lori Suttmeyer. She's the head of the FAA San Francisco Airports District Office. That's the district that we're in, and have her comment on that. They are at the level of 90% for most cases, but as Andrew explained, if we want to keep the longer runway, then we, the county, has to come up with the additional funding for that.
I
was offering ways to do that, which is an earmark from the congressman or other suggestions that he has. You can't have another grant from a federal source to use the match because you can't match federal funds with federal funds. I know that was a discussion last time, and I just wanted to add that. And then having some sort of businesses on the field that could generate more income.
So we're talking about generating somewhere upwards of $20 million. I'm telling you.
I understand.
That's not going to happen in the next 5 years. I guarantee. 10, if we're lucky, it wouldn't happen. We just need to know what the county needs to do in a process to get us back to the 90% funding level at the current size runway, even if it has to cut back to 7,100, I can see that. But we can't close the airport. That would be an option because we would be in a payback situation to the FAA for tens of millions of dollars. So we're kind of in the crosshairs here. So we just need to know what we need to do to get back to where we're on that 90 percentile of funding from FAA internally. If there's nothing we can do internally, that's a different matter, but we need to know what we need to be doing.
Well, we can discuss that among the consultants. I don't know. I don't have an answer for that because I don't know if there is anything that you can do to get internally to get to that figure. But I'm trying to make suggestions of alternatives that could be helpful, but I don't know what you could do immediately or in the next 5 years to raise that $20 million without the FAA's input. And I hear your question, how do we get back to that percentage? And I will work on that with the other consultants and the county.
Thank you.
Yeah, I guess the short answer is having the aircraft that need that runway length operating there and being able to account that they are operating there. So it's twofold, having the actual operations and then being able to track it, which the Vert Tower system, which will be coming online, will give you the tracking component. It's a matter of attracting the aircraft to the airport will be the next challenge. And
right.
I failed to answer a question you had earlier about how that happens. Vert Tower is definitely a solution for that. You asked about fixed-based operator coming in, managing the airport, developing the airport. Those are things that can be explored, can be done. A couple of examples, Oceanside Airport, Southern California. They have a 50-year lease with a company that is obligated to maintain, develop, manage the airport. So it's just hands-off to the city there. There's also a public-private partnership program, grant program that the FAA has. to give you some money as the county to go through a process where you can have that sort of a partnership come in, again, manage the airport, effectively become the airport sponsor, but you still own the facility. Mm-hmm. But do
kind
all
of
the
a franchise type thing.
Kind of like
right.
that, yeah.
yeah. So thank you. Go ahead. Supervisor Howe?
Excuse me, but didn't you say that even if we document the federal aircraft, that doesn't count?
Correct.
Right. But we're not counting at all now, or haven't been. That's my point. Supervisor Oberman.
I'm frustrated with the federal aircraft part of this, because who else are we going to attract with a big enough aircraft? So we're sort of stuck between a rock and a hard place in that situation. No matter what we do, we're not going to get enough numbers to accommodate.
If you're trying to count C-130s in particular, right, that's a real challenge, because C-130s are military, or they're going to be Forest Service, some Cal Fire. That's where talking more at the Forest Service regional and national level, understanding their larger plan to see what investments they can make. Conversations we've had to date is they weren't really interested in making those kind of investments here.
Can we jump back to the length again? And Isaac, you may be able to answer this better. What's the optimum, or what can one of your big planes land comfortably on? Is the 6,000 good enough, or is that not okay?
A bit familiar with that. To answer your question, I think their slide represented what's optimal for the C-130. We have a couple other aircraft, the BAE and the RJs, and being special use as far as carrying retardant, it varies per the aircraft and the weather, obviously the altimeter and settings and what they need for conditions to take off and optimally, but so it varies. I can't put a hard number on it if it's, 6,000 for what types of aircraft. I know, for example, the Chester Air Attack Base and Air Tanker Base they host seats, but they've done some modifications. They're limited by the lake there and highway, but they've done some modifications to be able to accommodate the C-130, and they're, I think, just under 6,000 feet, or maybe they've extended it. That was the plan, I believe, so they can accommodate bigger aircraft, or we call them Type 1 aircraft.
Right.
But as far as the federal aircraft, majority of the aircraft we're supporting are state, and I'm not sure if that falls under the same caveat.
That one's a little questionable.
Okay, so the C-130 program is actually, if they're not the MASS, which we wouldn't be able to support anyway, which are military, would be state Cal Fire C-130s, which contracted, and also the S-2s for states.
Yeah, so that's a little unknown. We're trying to understand how that would work, being a state agency or state entity as opposed to a federal entity.
Oh, so now we're talking state ones don't count either, or we don't know that?
We're trying to get a firm answer on that.
Well, that changes everything.
Anything further?
It's just getting worse all the time.
Yeah.
Forgot to add one thing. Also, sorry. I guess being working out there the last few summers, there is quite a bit of aircraft usage out there, including large jets, private jets, and whatnot. And then when 2 years ago, when Cal Fire had a helibase at the Weed Airport, and they closed that for fixed wing, we had a lot of overflow from the Weed Airport, mm-hmm. including the jets and whatnot. But and then we host the two type rotor wing as well. Even without incident, the Cal Fire has a Type 1 helicopter there, and the Feds have one too, hosted. And as far as supplementing the dams coming down, with the county purchased some heliwells, and we have one of those at the airport as well for firefighting initial attack. To see quite a bit of traffic out there, and having hard numbers for that, but it's quite a used airport for as quiet as it seems.
Thank you.
One quick question.
I'm going to go to Supervisor Chris. Go ahead.
Quick follow-up. Is the current airport able to land the VLAT?
Yes, I believe so. We couldn't, our current base couldn't be able to service them, but with improved conditions, they may be able to. There's only, I think, three bases in California that can service the VLATs, and then Medford.
Okay.
Pretty limited.
All right, thank you.
Supervisor Chris?
Yeah, back on slide 11, this is following your questions there. You said the FAA is only willing to pay for a certain amount because it feels that other agencies should pay for their fair share of usage. And then you had a comment that you talked to the Forest Service and those things. So look at the potential C-130 operations, the military, another aviator, C-27J Spartan. What are these entities going to contribute into that pot?
From what we have heard in the process of our study, they are not willing to contribute.
That's
a direct contribution. That doesn't mean you can't increase landing fees or things like that, but for them to go up their chain of command and say, hey, we need to invest $20 million at Siskiyou County Airport for runway, that is a very hard sell for them.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll leave it at that.
Thank you for your time.
And on the 6th, I'm sure
yes.
You can expect more dialogue since we do have funding for the taxiway.
Yes.
And hopefully we'll be able to continue to hold on to it. So we'll look forward to that.
Okay. Thank you.
Great. For 5.
Yes.